We thank y'all so much for coming out this morning to worship with us, to hear from the Word of God. And thank you. And we pray that lives are touched even where our pastor is right now and a lot of our church family is right now at the campgrounds. Something that they did for the youth, and they typically do it every year. And we're grateful this morning that you came, if you weren't able to go out to the campgrounds this morning. So Reed asked me if I would step in today for those of us that couldn't make it to the campgrounds, and I'm grateful to do so. I love bringing the Word of God to His people. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I will be reading from the book of Psalm, a very familiar scripture, a passage of scriptures, rather, in Psalm 23. And most of you can quote Psalm 23, but I'm going to read it for you this morning anyway. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray over the reading of the Word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into Your Word, I pray, God, for Your anointing this morning. As we talk about this passage of Scriptures this morning, God, I pray that You anoint my lips, that I speak Your words and not my words. I pray that hearts are touched this morning, Lord. I pray that what is talked about, what is coming from You this morning, helps. I pray, God, that it changes lives, because Your Bible changes lives, because it is Your Word. We pray this morning that You use me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I was smart this time, because last time I was up here sweating and all I had was a Kleenex. So I went and got a towel, and Doug said, "Uh-oh, he's got his charismatic towel out now." It's not a charismatic towel. It just keeps my brow from sweating on my computer. But talking about Psalm 23, there is one thing that we can all be sure of, and that is God is always at work. When you're at some crossroads in your life, when you're forced to face the trials and tribulations that life may hand us, when you're at the point of not knowing what to do, we can always trust that God is at work in our life. Amen? Every one of us go through valley experiences, just like we're talking about in Psalm 23. Every single person here this morning has that experience, because it's simply a part of our life. Every one of us go through valley experiences at some point, at one point or another. Each and every person under the sound of my voice this morning will experience a valley experience. Every time we go through these valley experiences, we tend to wonder why God allows us to go through them. In this 23rd Psalm, David is speaking of a deep, dark valley where there seems to be no ray of light. And it feels like you're not going to make it. But I'm here to tell you this morning that valleys are not dead-end streets. The disappointments, frustrations, discouragements, the dilemmas of life, although they are valleys, they shouldn't be classified always as a disaster. David refers to them as a shadow. But nonetheless, I submit to you this morning that the valley is only the route to our own personal promised land, and there is no other way around it. There is no alternate route. When the Egyptians chased the Israelites to the Red Sea, there seemed to be no way out, but God made a way. God made a way for the Israelites to cross the Red Sea, to get through that valley. We must always keep in mind that God will make a way. Don't give up in your time, in your valley time. Don't give up. We must always remember that God is at work in our life. We must always keep in mind His grace, His leading, and His mercy never, ever fails. One thing that happens in our valley experiences is we tend to get discouraged because His way is not always the way that we think it should turn out. Most of the time, it's the opposite of what we expect Him to do. Sometimes, inadvertently otherwise, we have acquired the habit of trying to tell the Lord exactly how we want Him to help us and ignore the fact that He knows just what to do. When we are journeying through the valley, we sometimes tend to question God's timing. I know this because I am completely guilty of it myself. I don't know how often I've moaned the words, "Lord, why won't you help me?" All the while overlooking the fact that all I have to do is trust Him. Stop holding on to the thought, or better yet, fear that God will wait too long to do something. I've had my own personal valley experiences, as I'm sure all of you have had your valley experience. But I want to share with you this morning one of my valley experiences that is relating to this passage. And it was not too much longer when I separated from the military and I started working on oil rigs. I worked for the oil rigs for about 2 years. At that time, I had 4 young children. I had a house, 2 vehicles. Everything was going great. Life was looking great. It wasn't a valley for me. I was on the mountaintop. But all of a sudden, this company that I worked for, they sold out, laid off all of their employees. And it just so happens it was during the time of the recession. So there was no work to be found. Still had bills that were coming in. And I was questioning God. I was asking God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. Why won't you help me? Ended up losing my house. Lost my vehicles. And I remember a time when we had to move back to Arkansas to be around family to try to get a little support. And we had no food in our cupboards with 4 little children in the house. And I remember staring out the back glass door. Said, "God, why won't you help me? What is my family going to eat?" And at the very moment that I asked God that question, there was a knock on my front door. I opened the door and there were 2 people standing at my front door with bags full of groceries. Not knowing the situation that we had, not knowing that our cupboards were empty, not knowing that we didn't have any food in our refrigerator to feed our children. At the same time when I was asking God, "Why won't you help me?" The moment I began to doubt, God said, "Just wait, trust in me. I will provide." David here, the writer of this beautiful psalm, takes a personal and possessive view of just what God means to him. He does something that we all should do in respect of God and who He is. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He was not debating whether or not he was someone else's shepherd, but when it came to his relationship with God, it was a personal endeavor. The Lord is my shepherd. When it comes to our relationship with God, we should all feel this way. I would never question whether or not he is yours, but I know for a fact that he is my shepherd. He's mine. David knew firsthand the duty of a shepherd because he himself was a shepherd. He faced a lion and he faced a bear to protect his father's sheep. He reasoned that God was his protector. Just like David had placed his life between the beast and the sheep, Jesus Christ places his life between Satan and you. David was journeying through the valley, but he didn't make the valley his permanent home. I want to say that again. David did not make the valley his permanent home. I believe that from the beginning, David's trust in God told him that the valley was just a temporary place. There is a question this morning that all of us must answer. And that question is, where do you do most of your living? Do you live on a mountain or do you live in a valley? Of course, I'm speaking metaphorically. That's what David is doing here in the 23rd Psalm. Although the valley of the shadow of death is a physical location, it's also another name for the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. This is where the Good Samaritan helped the man along the way. It was a winding road that was very steep, and shepherds would take their flocks through it on the way to the fields. People would hide in the caves to steal the lambs to eat. So David wrote the entire 23rd Psalm metaphorically with this in mind. Where do you do most of your living? This is a question that only you and God himself can answer. Is it on a mountaintop or is it in a valley? Mountaintop or valley? Since we're speaking metaphorically, let me remind you that when the Bible speaks of mountains, the mountain is normally considered a place of revelation and awe. To have a mountaintop experience means you have received some insight, you've received some inspiration, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're happy because all of your bills are paid. Or that there's very little worries in your life. Because if that were true, there are many unbelievers who live on the mountaintop. The mountaintop for a Christian is where we meet God, where we hear a word from God, and we can see the promised land. The mountaintop is a great place to be, and we all love being on the mountaintop. A place where we can clearly hear God's direction, where we can feel God's presence. It's where we can hear his voice. We're able to follow God's leading because it is so clear. But the valley is quite a bit different than the mountaintop. The valley is where we do our struggling. The average Christian experiences both the mountaintop and the valley. We do so because life is filled with ups and downs. And the truth is, if you're like me, most of the time you live your life in the valley. The valley is very different than the mountaintop. The valley is where life becomes challenging. The valley is where many battles are fought and where feelings are hurt and attitudes are developed. The valley is the place in life where we struggle every day. We struggle with fears and we struggle with hopes and painful circumstances. The valley for us is simply inevitable because we find ourselves there for various reasons. Those reasons could be spiritual warfare or because of actions of others or because of our own rebellious actions. But the valley can also be due by the hand of God himself. On the mountaintop is where we come to meet God, but it's in the valley where God comes to meet us. As we struggle during our time in the valley, David reassures you and I that we can make it through. Just remember that after every mountaintop, there's going to be a valley. You're either going into one, you're either coming out of one, or you're in the midst of a valley. Jesus made this very clear to us that in this world there will be trouble. But he says, fear not, because I've overcome the world. You will have many trials. You will have sorrows. There will be people who misunderstand you. They will criticize you. They will talk evil about you and judge you unfairly when you're in the valley. Again, the bad news is you will have to go through the valley. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. All you have to do is count the days and you will experience some valleys, because they are a normal part of life. You can't plan a valley. You can't time a valley. You cannot schedule a valley. They usually come at the worst possible time. They usually come when you don't have time, when you're unprepared and feel as if you don't have the resources to deal with this valley right now. Valleys are like that. They simply just happen. A valley can come up on you all of a sudden without warning. It doesn't matter how good you've been, how careful you've been. Life is such that those old valleys will come all just the same. And valleys are not impartial. They come to the rich, they come to the poor, they'll come to men, they'll come to women, they'll come to blacks, they'll come to whites, they'll come to Hispanics. No one is exempt from a valley. David, in his classic psalm, is telling us something here by utilizing the word through. It appears that he is saying that anything you walk or go through has a beginning and an ending. He realized that while we're in the valley, through our faith, God would meet us there. God will meet us as long as we don't decide for ourselves, hear me on this, to take up residence in that valley. Some people have been down for so long until getting up just is no longer on their mind. Some people are in the valley so long until they just decide to stay there. They give up and they stop praying. Their faith is challenged. Their hope is gone. They are like the Israelites who ask the question, how can we sing songs of Zion in such a strange land? As many of you know, our girls, McKenna and Kadri, are playing volleyball, and talking with other members of the church, I've come to understand that we have a lot of volleyball players in this church. We have enough probably to almost make our own team. The funny thing about that is, you talk to any of these grandparents or any of these parents, because what it sounds like after talking to them, we would probably have a pretty elite team, because every single one of them are great. I've never heard one of them say, yeah, she plays volleyball, but she's not real good. But in these volleyball games, so one thing that I've noticed, one thing that I often see, is these little girls will mess up on a hit. And one thing that the coaches and the parents all begin to say is you've got to shake it off. You've got to shake it off. You can't keep dwelling on that mistake that you made, because guess what? That ball's coming back again. And you're going to have your mindset in the right place in order to keep playing well. Because if you continue to dwell on what you did wrong, then you're going to continue to do the same thing. That's the same thing in a valley. Sometimes we get so caught up in the valley that we're in that we continue to dwell on the bad things that are going on the things that we did wrong, instead of focusing on there will be light at the end of this tunnel. This valley is just temporary. This is just a moment in life. And as long as I trust God, as long as I keep my faith strong in Him, He will see you through. But if only we were like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were willing to go through the fiery furnace. They did not camp there. They said with great assurance that through the fire, through the flame, and the smoke, the Lord will be with us. So you know what? Go ahead and put us in, if you will, because it is a temporary place. When it comes to the valley, some people want to give up. If only they were like Moses at the Red Sea or Daniel in the lion's den. Ask them and they will respectively tell you that Egypt was just a temporary place because God opened up the Red Sea just in time. And the lion's den was a temporary place because God sewed up the lion's mouth in the den. I know that we all have troubled times. Sometimes we can't help but run into some very low places. But you can rest assured that God does not intend for us to stay there. Just like the valley experience that I was telling you about in my life. When they showed up with groceries, when I didn't see anything, any possible way, God showed up and provided, and then we began to see God continue to open doors for us. But it didn't happen on our timetable. It didn't happen in the way that we thought it would happen. We had to lay ourselves down. We had to give it to Christ and say, "It's yours, Lord. We're trusting in you." Valleys are a part of life. No one will ever go through life and at the end boast that they made it through without any scars. Believe it or not, but sometimes we can view the valley as a gift from God. Because anything that brings us to Him and to His ways is actually a gift. The valleys, even though they are temporary, they actually do have a purpose. We see in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7, we read, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ." In other words, even though it is necessary that we walk through the valleys of life for a little while, we need to come to the clear understanding that these valleys are only a test. We are being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Your faith is much more precious than mere gold. That's why it is so important for you to maintain, for us to maintain our faith like David did when we go through these valleys. There is a question, a very good question in the Bible found in Luke 18, verse 8. And it says, "When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth?" Be assured that God has a reason for allowing us to go through the valley. And I want you to understand this morning, God does not cause this because God is a good God and He cannot cause evil, but God will allow it. God allowed His only begotten Son to go through the wilderness and be tempted by the devil. Think about that. Jesus Christ Himself, he was not exempted from suffering. He was not exempted from loneliness. He was not exempted from temptation or discouragement. He was not exempted from anything else we ourselves have to face. He experienced loss just like any one of us. He was misunderstood just as we're misunderstood. He was persecuted. He was greatly criticized. And Jesus, by going through the same things that we go through in our lives, in this day and time, it enables us to be like him because we have been given an example of how to get through the valleys of our life. That's why David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd," meaning I have everything I need. Meaning that the Lord is with me through my life and beyond. The scripture goes on to read, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures." What does it mean when the psalmist tells us that the Lord maketh us to lie down in green pastures? In my mind's eye, I can picture it for myself, a mattress of soft green grass, a cold shade under a tree, no noisy street traffic, no worry of dangers or of problems, simply peaceful rest. "He leadeth beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." That means that he gives me new strength and he guides me along the right direction. The first three verses in this passage of Scripture, we see that so far everything is going well for David. It says, "He leads me." It says, "He renews my strength." It says, "He guides me." But he changes a little bit at the fourth verse because he says, "Even when," recognize he didn't say if, he said, "Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are with me." Do you fully understand what David is saying here? Saying, no matter where I go, no matter what I have to go through, God will always be with me. And if God is with me, I have nothing to be afraid of as long as I keep my trust and my faith in him. In the valley or on the mountaintop, no matter where it may be, we have his presence in our pain, his love in our loss. David said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." But the original language of this actually calls it the valley of shadows, meaning it is only a valley full of shadows. And the point being, what can a shadow possibly do to us? It's just a shadow. Should we be afraid of a shadow? A shadow is simply an illusion. A shadow cannot hurt us, but it can make us hurt ourselves. A shadow is caused by an object that is blocking the light, and sometimes a shadow can make things look gloomy. A shadow can make things look dark. But with every shadow, we need to look towards the light, and Jesus Christ is the light of life. He is the good shepherd, and a good shepherd does not lead his sheep into a dark valley and just leave them there. God does not watch us from outside of the valley. He does not call to us from the other side of the valley, because he is with us through the valley. Do you have any valleys in your life? Is there any rivers in your life that you just can't cross? Is there a situation that seems as if you'll never make it through? You've prayed about that situation, and then you finally decided to just wait on the Lord. And then all of a sudden, you begin to see the end of the valley. You begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Doug, if you'd come back up, please. It is God Himself who walks with us through life's trials to deliver us from evil, to deliver us from fear. I know this morning's sermon is not one of prosperity or one that just gives us a great feeling. I'm up here telling you that there's going to be valleys that you're going to have to face. You're either going through it now or it's coming. But God wants you to hear this morning that no matter what your situation is, no matter what you're going through, trust in God and He will be there. The valley is where we do our struggling. The valley is where we have to cry sometimes. We have to go through journeys of valley. From the earliest existence all the way up to our departure from this world. But God comforts us with assurance that even earthly death will never separate our souls from dwelling in His holy presence forever in heaven. This is why Paul declared that our deliverance from evil by the loving sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. He says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Truly as it is written, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have nothing to fear. I don't know about you this morning, but in the midst of all my struggles, and the fact that the valley is only a temporary place, it won't last. God is with us. No matter what you're going through this morning, I don't know what it is this morning. I know that this is what God wanted this group of people to hear this morning. I have no doubt in my mind. God wants you to know, trust in Him. You will get through it. As we worship this morning, we invite you to stand with us as we go into our last song. And if there's something this morning that you would just like to release, these altars are always open. If you want to come up here because perhaps you're going through a valley at this current situation, in this current time in your life, and you want to come up here and you just want to release it to God and say, God, I put my trust in You. Maybe you've asked that question in this valley. God, why won't You help me? I've been crying out to You. I've been praying. And it seems as though You won't answer my prayer. But God is saying this morning, trust Me, my child. I'm at work for you in your life. I see you and I see what you're going through. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word this morning, God, that You have brought to us, Lord. And we pray, God, that we continue to remember that we are not alone in our life. We are not alone in our struggles, even though sometimes it's so difficult. Even though there's times, God, that we just can't do anything but cry. Or perhaps there's times that's coming up, God, and I pray, Lord, that You always keep at the forefront of our mind that You are in control. There is nothing impossible for You to do.